Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat? And your lips are like honey into the night. Well, I'm drifting and drifting. I'm caught in a dream. I'm lost but not lost.
Final hour of our broadcast. Wait, welcome back, Carter Subaru Studio. We're also streaming This Big Lead on Facebook Live. Welcome. So, right as Grandy left the building, we were talking about how he sends pizzas every time a band member has a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves, and then the delivery guy for Zeke's comes walking in with a pizza.
Seriously?
He sent us another pizza this afternoon.
Cupcakes and pizza?
Yeah.
He spoils you.
So, here's what I don't quite understand. Like Nicole said, he decorates the box, kind of like a middle school girl does, which makes a little collage mm-hmm. of her favorite band mm-hmm. with pictures she cuts out of Tiger Beat.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if little girls do that anymore. No. Tiger Beat doesn't exist.
He sent one thing, is just a picture of the band with a poem that Grandy wrote about him. And then the second thing, it's tour concert posters surround the outside of the paper. And it says, "One day to celebrate a lifetime of appreciation. John, Roger, Simon, and Nick, thank you." And then in the middle, if you can see this little box in the middle, there's a pair of red lips, a sumo wrestler, an ice cream cone, the silhouette of a naked girl, a tiger, a police hat, and a cocktail glass, and a pink rotary dial phone.
An eclectic mix.
I don't know the significance of any of those things. Let me put this back on the table behind me. So, yeah, I don't... It was very nice.
The delivery guy comes, he keeps a straight face. Here's your pizza.
I saw the delivery guy cracking up as he was leaving.
He normally keeps a pretty straight face. It's a different one every time, but.
Okay, with that as a mere prelude, let's get to our big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
7 times the voters in Washington State have been presented with an income tax proposal. 7 times the voters have said, no, we do not want an income tax in our state. Because we all know what'll happen. What's happened with sales tax? Well, when I was a kid, it was 4.5%. Now it's up over 10% in many places. They just keep raising it higher and higher and higher. What's happened with property taxes? They have skyrocketed. I mean, just explosive growth in our property taxes. Some people paying thousands and thousands of dollars more per year than they did even just a few years ago. Every time we give them a new tax toy, they can't wait to play with it to its fullest. And that means raising the tax as high as they can on as many people as they can. But a lot of people say, yeah, but, you know, it's not a problem. Because the voters of this state are never going to go for an income tax. Guess what? You gave the Democrats control in Olympia. Maybe you didn't, but some real dopey voters did. Gave the Democrats control in Olympia. And what are they doing? They are talking today about an income tax. That is still their holy grail. That is what they want more than anything on earth. They want a state income tax. And why? Because leftists, politicians, love to punish high achievers. They hate high achieving. They need to take from the high achievers and give it to the people who don't make, you know, who are working minimum wage jobs. And then they need to tell those minimum wage workers, if you vote for me, I'll take somebody else's money and I'll give it to you. So this is Lori Jenkins. She's the new speaker designate for the State House of Representatives, and she told TVW.
Just going back for a moment to the income tax, what I do want to be clear about is I'm not hearing you taking it completely off the table. It sounds like you think that it should be part of any conversation around tax reform in the state.
I don't think we should ever take anything off the table. On almost any topic. White nationalism, maybe. I shouldn't say maybe. Yeah, we should take that off the table.
What is wrong? I mean, I'm serious. These leftists, they are screwed up in the brain. So the question is about the income tax. And that's all it takes to get street cred within the party is... Income tax? Nope. Shouldn't take it off the table. White nationalism! They have to work those two words into every conversation. Why? Because that's the memo that went out about 2 weeks ago. And then their TV networks and every Democratic presidential candidate and even the statewide people... Yeah, we got to consider a state income tax because of white nationalism. I'm telling you, their brains are addled with the messaging that they are mandated to put out there every single time they open their mouth. It's crazy. So anyway, there you go. The State House... will not, even though it is absolutely unconstitutional, they're trying to find ways around our state constitution. And one way, of course, because what's unconstitutional is a graduated income tax or an income tax on only the wealthy. But if they have the exact same tax rate on every person, so if it's a 5% income tax, if you're making $40,000 a year, you'll have to give $2,000 to the state of Washington. But if you make $400,000, you'd have to give $20,000, and that gets them excited. But for a middle class person, if you take $2,000 from somebody who's making $40,000 a year, I mean, I'm thinking of these kids just out of college and their first jobs who are making $40,000-$50,000 a year, and the state of Washington's going to take $2,000-$2,500 from them every single year. And by the way, not deductible. On your federal income tax, those are post-tax dollars, so it's actually much, much more of a tax burden. That's what they want. Why? Because money is their drug. Those heroin addicts who are shooting up every day on the streets, their heroin addiction is nothing compared to Democrat politicians' addiction to our money. That's a real monkey on their back. So there you go. They will not take the income tax, which is unconstitutional, off the table. And white nationalism! Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So yesterday I got off the air at 3 o'clock and drove down to CenturyLink Field so I could do the Seahawks pregame show. And as I was driving down there, where you can either go east on I-90 or you can go west to the stadiums, I noticed that the street signs, the freeway signs, they were just covered with graffiti. Some of them so covered with black paint that you couldn't even see what the sign said. And our Nicole Jennings, who does all our online and digital work, she just was working on a story about all of this graffiti. And Nicole, what made you think to even do a story about this?
Well, we actually received a tip from a listener, Garrett Lloyd King, who's a local truck driver in the area.
And he's one of our listeners?
Yes,
he is. We have so many truck driver listeners. I love our truck drivers.
And, I mean, you know, so he does this for a profession, driving around. He's from here, and he actually got messed up by one of these freeway signs and ended up with his big truck, you know, having to navigate the downtown streets and get trapped in that mess because he ended up getting off the freeway too early. And so I thought, well, if that could mess up a truck driver, you know, these signs must be...
professional driver. Yeah, and he told Nicole that he saw it in the same place I saw it yesterday, right where I-5 and I-90 meet.
Going westbound on I-90 and going to take I-5 south, which is exit 2B. Well, when you come around the corner, there's just a whole bunch of graffiti on it, or it's just sprayed out with black spray paint. So you can't even see the sign what it says.
And as Nicole just said, he's a professional driver who's getting messed up by this.
I kind of missed that turn because I wasn't sure which it was, in a sense. You know, I know my way around pretty well, but even if I have a struggle with that, imagine those that aren't from around here.
Well, and especially because that is an area where a lot of people drive that maybe don't go into downtown for anything other than a Seahawks game or a Mariners game. And if there are no street signs because they're all covered with black paint.
Oh, yeah. And Seattle's a hard enough city to navigate as it is. You know, all the one-way streets, the intersections that are triangles and hexagons and you know, what have you. Seattle's a hard city to get around in as a driver. But then when you add in not being able to read the signs and not know where you're supposed to go, and you want to be a safe driver and not just be staring at the sign. You want to be, you know, eyes on road, just glancing at the sign. But if you can't read it, that's hard to do.
And that's what our listener said is, you know, how many people are just getting off the wrong exit because the sign is completely covered with black paint?
Imagine these people that aren't from around here. How many times have people ended up down on Edgar Martinez Way down there because they can't see the sign?
So you talked to the DOT. Do we have any idea how much this is costing us, all this graffiti removal?
No, I wasn't able to find that out. I do know that the crews, you know, the crews are really stretched thin, the WashDOT crews, because the same people who go out there removing graffiti are also repaving. They're in the wintertime, they're out there with the plows, you know, they're fixing the guardrails, kind of any problem they're out there taking care of. So I see what the DOT meant is that it's hard to have enough manpower to go out there and fix these signs.
Well, this is what happens when you have so many drug addict, homeless on our streets. We have such a gang problem, and the gang tags are a huge issue. And for you and me, our tax dollars, these crews, these government DOT crews, as soon as they go and clean it up, Nicole talked with Joseph Calabro with WashDOT, and he said they'll go clean it up and it'll be spray painted almost immediately again.
Unfortunately, some of these signs that we clean or replace are routinely tagged again. And so it's a real frustration.
You know, you've spent a lot of time in Europe. I was just in Europe a few weeks ago, and we took a train from Barcelona up into the mountains. And my wife and girls and I, we were commenting that every inch along the train tracks is covered with graffiti, and almost every European city. There seems to be something with socialism and disenfranchised young people and graffiti, and it's all around Europe, and it's here in Seattle because, you know, we've instilled the same mentality around here.
Yeah, it's bad in Barcelona. It's bad in Rome going from the airport to the city. It's really bad over in Europe, but, you know, it seems to have come here too.
Yeah, and one of the problems is if they tag your business, it's up to you, the business owner, to clean it up at personal expense. And this is what happens when we got so much lawlessness right around the city. All right, you have a lot more of the audio, and you have a lot more story posted right now at mynorthwest.com.
Yep, on your page.
Okay, check that out, the Dory Monts Show page, Nicole Jennings. Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
Little fake news update. So there have been some stories just in the last, since I got off the air yesterday, that the media, which, you know, is absolutely single-minded about doing the bidding of the leftist politicians. And so the media is trying to do anything they can to try to take down the president. So there were a couple of things yesterday that were just so disgusting, yesterday and this morning, that were so disgusting. So down in the South, there were these immigration raids at these food processing plants. And CNN, CBS, they were exploiting this 11-year-old girl who was crying because her dad, who was an illegal, had been one of the 688 arrested.
Government, please put your heart. Let my parents be free with everybody else, please.
Magdalena Gomez Gregorio pleaded for the return of her dad, one of hundreds of undocumented immigrants rounded up Wednesday by Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
My dad didn't do nothing. He's not a criminal.
The 11-year-old and other children of those arrested stayed at a community center gymnasium overnight after about 600 immigration agents targeted food processing plants across central Mississippi. Some employers were also arrested.
Okay, and here's the point of this. Any American citizen child whose mom or dad is arrested, they're probably sad when their parent is arrested for breaking a law. But you don't have networks exploiting those children, the children of our country, our citizens, whose parents get arrested, because there's no political points to be scored in putting crying 11-year-olds if their mom or dad broke some other law, but they're American citizens. But this one, and then the anchors at the end of the CBS report.
It's very tough to watch an 11-year-old plead for her father on the first day of school for a lot of these kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, Omar,
definitely
thanks.
Worried about those kids.
On the first day of school. Bit of a non sequitur. But again, yeah, it sucks when your parent breaks the law and gets arrested for it. But it happens to kids every day in this country. But CNN wanted to use that 11-year-old girl, too.
I need my dad for me. My dad didn't do nothing. He's not a criminal.
And what happened was they arrested 688 illegals. They checked to see if they had committed more violent crimes or other crimes that would require more immediate deportation. And many had not. And so they released 300 of them. Nobody did a follow-up to see if this girl's dad was one of the ones released or if he had committed some other crimes in this country, and that would lead to deportation. But CNN used that first day of school non sequitur as well.
The raids on the heels of the El Paso shooting, where Latinos were purposely targeted, also came on the first day of school for those children.
You know, they had to bring up El Paso because that's how they could score political points. And then there's another similar story on a guy who was an illegal in this country. He was born in Greece, but he was an Iraqi citizen. And, man, the way CNN played that story, because he went back to Iraq, and then they say he died because he couldn't get insulin because he didn't speak the language.
A man who spent most of his life in the U.S. died this week after he was deported to Iraq in June. Jimmy Al-Daoud's family believes he died because he couldn't obtain insulin to treat his diabetes. They say he was living on the streets of Baghdad. Al-Daoud was deported to Iraq as part of the Trump administration's immigration crackdown.
Okay, so the Trump administration sent this guy to Iraq to die. Now, you have to go 11 paragraphs into the written CNN.com story to read this about the guy. Al-Daoud had an extensive criminal history that involved no less than 20 convictions between 1998 and 2017, including assault with a dangerous weapon, domestic violence, breaking and entering, malicious destruction of a building, home invasion. His criminal history led to this guy being incarcerated and eventually deported. So are we at a point now where we can't deport people with extensive criminal histories who are in this country illegally without CNN burying that information and just saying, yeah, the Trump administration killed this guy, sending him back to Iraq? The networks are despicable in how they're presenting all of this. They're using 11-year-old girls, do no follow-up to see if her dad was released because he had committed no other crimes. We don't know if he did or not because nobody followed up on that. And then suggesting that deportation killed this guy? It's his criminal history that really did him in. They don't say that. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then our awesome audio of the week, which includes my favorite audio of 2019 so far. That's coming up. Friday afternoons. But we still have a lot of show to get to. And I got such a strong batch here. I just can't dilly-dally. We got to get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio. Clips of the week.
Okay, at number three, the left has just gone insane. We've been talking about that quite a bit. on MSNBC, they've been getting guests who are particularly insane, such as a guy named Frank Figliuzzi. He's a former FBI assistant director. They lowered the flags to half staff for the shooting victims. They raised them yesterday. And this FBI director, he said that raising the flags, Trump was sending a secret signal to neo-Nazis.
Number three.
President said that we will fly our flags at half mast until August 8th. That's 8-8. Now, I'm not going to imply that he did this deliberately, but I am using it as an example of the ignorance of the adversary that's being demonstrated by the White House. The numbers 8-8 are very significant in neo-Nazi and white supremacy movement. Why? Because the letter H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, and to them, the numbers 8-8 together stand for Heil Hitler. So we're going to be raising the flag back up at dusk on 8-8. No one's thinking about this. No one's giving him the advice, or he's rejecting the advice. So understand your adversary to counter the adversary.
So we raised the flags back up yesterday to say Heil Hitler. I did not realize 8 was a racist number until this brilliant MSNBC guest. At number 2, oh, we fell in love with this 65-year-old woman. She got pulled over for a broken tail light. She should have just signed the ticket.
Number 2.
Well, I did issue it for a defective equipment. It's $80. You have till September 16th to take care of this. Get you to sign there where the X is.
So you don't even give a warning for this?
You've been driving around for 6 months like that.
I'm truthful.
Well, I'm not going to give you a warning for something you've been driving for 6 months.
But, well, I don't want to sign it because I don't want to do $80.
So she refuses to sign the ticket, and he says, okay, you're going to be under arrest then.
You don't want to sign it?
No, because I don't think that I deserve to pay $80 for something that is fixifable, and I can fix it. All right. That's all you want
to
do.
Go ahead, step out.
How do you like that, Andrew? I don't deserve to pay $80 because she drove around for 6 months with a broken taillight, and it's fixable, but she didn't fix it. I don't deserve. That's everybody's attitude. I don't deserve this.
Why?
Because you're under arrest. Step out. Step out of the vehicle. Step out. Step out. I'm giving you a lawful order. Step out.
Then she rolls up the window and starts driving away.
You be fair with me and I'll be fair with you.
Step out.
No.
You're under arrest.
No, I'm not.
I'm placing you under arrest. Step out.
You are full of shit because you're not placing me under no arrest.
Do not take off.
Shut up and give me that and I'll sign it.
Step out.
No.
We're beyond that.
Do you want me to?
Step out.
And that's when she drives off. He has to chase her down the road. Finally pulls her over.
Put your hands behind your back.
Leave me alone!
Put your hands behind your back.
No!
Now!
Then he pulls out his taser and has to zap her. Okay, and she had tried to kick him in the groin when he finally zapped her with the taser.
Do you realize you just got yourself in a whole lot more trouble?
What?
For running?
Oh, I didn't run. I told you you weren't going to arrest me.
Hurt?
Yeah, I'm hurt.
What hurts?
Everything. You got a what on the way?
I got an ambulance on the way. Check you out.
Ambulance? I don't need an ambulance.
Well,
yeah, I tried to kick you because I'm a country girl because, no, I didn't like
And you got
like
tased because of it.
Yes, and I didn't like being thrown on the ground.
Well, next time, listen to what I'm telling you to do.
Sign the ticket. And then at number one, it's my favorite audio maybe of the year. At the Socialist Convention last weekend, first of all, a guy named James Jackson, he made sure to give his gender pronouns.
Number one.
Quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson.
Ooh, he said guys. That's important.
Sacramento, he, him.
James Jackson, he, him.
Just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know it's we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Thank you, comrade.
Okay. Oh, did you get that? Thank you, comrade.
Is there a speaker against name,
point
chapter,
of personal
pronoun?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Okay.
I just love that guy. Please do. He sounds like Howie Mandel in his early stand-up days. Please do not use gendered language. He's hissing. He's so upset by it. And then James Jackson, he gets up again to just kind of put a bow on all of this for us.
Quick point of privilege once again. Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA, he, him. I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload. And that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety. Like, the be comradely isn't just for, like, you know, let's keep things civil or whatever. It's so that people aren't going to get triggered and so that it doesn't affect their performance as a delegate, okay? Your need to express yourself is important, but your need to express yourself should not trump or over, like...
Triggered, sensory overload, gendered pronouns. Sounds like that socialist life is working out really great for you. Favorite sound bites of the week, today's sign next. Hey, down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week, what a week. Even though I missed one day because of that jury scare that I had on Tuesday. But other than that, great week because of you. You fed us lots of tips, like the Issaquah graduation crazy story that we had yesterday. We broke that yesterday and had more on that at noon today if you want to check that out. But as always, it's your tips that give us the exclusives that keep us on top. I also appreciate all the men and women at the King County Sheriff's Office who are reaching out to us with more exclusives, your concerns about the Sheriff's Office. We are doing our best to shine a light on what is becoming a real problem, not only for the men and women who work in the Sheriff's Office, but a public safety concern in this region. So we'll continue to keep an eye on those cats on top in the Sheriff's Office. All right, before we get out of here, it is time for today's edition of
The End is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline Seattle. It's the seat of King County. A suspected shoplifter was arrested at a Home Depot store on Wednesday. This guy had loaded up an entire shopping cart full of tools and power equipment. It was about $1,500 worth of items from the store that he had just put in a shopping cart and then started walking out. And, you know, I've noticed long, long ago at Home Depot, they have a lot of their more expensive tools in not a regular aisle, but it's like a corral that you have to go into that doesn't have an exit on the far side of the aisle. And so I know shoplifting's been a huge problem at stores like that. Well, that's exactly what happened in the Soto Home Depot. So officers were just patrolling through the store's parking lot. They saw a Home Depot employee struggling with the suspect over a shopping cart full of stuff. So when police got out of the patrol car to confront the 25-year-old suspected shoplifter, he ran from the cops. There was a brief foot chase through the lot, and then he ran to his car to drive off. There was only one problem. He had dropped the keys to the getaway vehicle somewhere inside the store. So then, with the police still in pursuit, the guy ran back inside of the Home Depot to look for his keys, but a staff member had already picked them up and given them to police. And so police then took him into custody. He's been taken to King County Jail for investigation of felony theft, which means he'll be out in about 40 seconds now, because that's how we treat shoplifters around here, which is why people think they can shoplift with impunity. Today's sign story number two, Dateline Louisiana, where this is a delicate little story. I don't even know how to tell this one. A 23-year-old woman, Ashley Rowland, she's been accused of stealing thousands of dollars from the home of a man she had been staying with. And when the police took her into custody, they did a search. And, you know, they have to do in the jails, a cavity search. And as they were doing that, the police found that the woman had put meth, or that she had meth, in her, you know, her private part. You know what I'm talking about. The man who accused her said she had swiped cash, left when he was in the shower. That's when he called the police. That's when the police took this woman in. They found $6,233 in cash on her, but also about 1 gram of meth that, did I mention it was in her private part? But the woman denied that the meth inside of her was hers. She says, she says she doesn't know how it got there, which means she must have been really high. So anyway, good luck to her as that wends its way through the system. And then finally in today's sign, I told you a few months ago, my wife and I went to Vegas, and one of the people we saw on that Vegas trip was the legend, the great Wayne Newton. I don't know this version. Daddy, don't you walk so fast? Did it always have a piano intro? I guess it did. Now it's the version I know. Anyway, Wayne Newton, he used to have a mansion right outside of Vegas called Casa de Shenandoah. And he had a menagerie of exotic animals at Casa de Shenandoah. And the public could go there and take a tour. Well, a woman now is alleging in a lawsuit that Wayne Newton's pet monkey bit her 15-year-old daughter during their mansion tour. Wayne Newton's wife says that they didn't even have a connection with the mansion for months before the lawsuit or the incident occurred. She says that they have no idea what happened. According to the woman, her daughter, after being bitten on the wrist by the monkey, her daughter had to have follow-up treatments, counseling, and has a scar. Counseling? I mean, it's a monkey bite. I don't want to ever get bit by a monkey. I don't think you'd want to get bit by a monkey. Does it require counseling? Are we that fragile? So now she's suing Wayne for medical costs and the emotional toll that his monkey took on her daughter. So we'll keep you posted on that one, too. We'll keep you posted on the meth in the private part. We'll keep you posted on Wayne Newton's monkey. We'll keep you posted on the Seattle shoplifter. I'm just whetting your appetite by giving you the early scenario in all of these stories. Okay, and all of that is today's sign. The end is near. And that's going to do it for us for this week. Because I've simply said all that I have to say for this week. But I'll go home, think up a bunch of new stuff over the weekend for Monday's big show. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And we'll see you back here Monday. High noon.
I've worked with better, but not many. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.